This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Hello and welcome to episode 50 and a half of the Retro Asylum. My name is Mr. Sid and I will be your host today. This week's episode will be the second in the series of My 8-Bit Life. For those of you who missed the first in the series, essentially My 8-Bit Life is a chance to look at the career and music of a famous video games composer from back in the day. So it's a mixture of music and me telling you a few details and insights about their career. Before I get onto the main feature, I thought I would tell you guys a little bit about what I've been up to and read out some site news. Now my real job has been taking up loads of my free time recently, so I've not had a massive amount of time for retro gaming, but I have managed to fire up the Amiga occasionally and I've been playing a game called Syndicate. First up, I just wanted to give a massive shout out to fellow Retromaniac Rob Ty, aka Mr. Retro Rob on Twitter. Rob very kindly donated this copy of Syndicate to me, so thanks again, mate. Released in 1993 by Bullfrog, Syndicate was a game that I played a lot back in the day. It was set in the future, you controlled a team of four cyborg agents, you had to negotiate a series of missions, regain territories and ultimately take over the world. I thought it was a great mixture of sort of strategy and action. Yeah, I've been really enjoying playing that. So thanks again, Rob. I also managed to make it down to my local car boot sale last weekend. It's never normally awash with retro gaming stuff, but this day there were some decent bits that I picked up. The highlights from this were Metal Gear Solid 2 and Gran Turismo 4 on the PS2, which were 50p each. Not retro, but a bargain was F1 2009 on the Wii for £1. And finally, what I thought at the time was a crap PS1 game called Jake Cocoon, which I paid 50p for. Now, it was only when I got home and posted some pictures on Twitter that I was told that Jake Cocoon was quite a rare game. So I'm pretty pleased with that. It sounds like it's a pretty good find. Now, speaking of boot sales, the next £20 Essex Car Boot Challenge is on Sunday the 15th of September at Dunton in Essex. So why not get yourself down there? It sounds like it's loads of fun and it's a massive car boot sale.
This is Uniforix and you're listening to the RetroAsylum.com podcast. Why not drop by the forums and let us know your retro gaming experiences?
Last week, I was lucky enough, thanks to Andy, to get a sneak preview download of the Chaos Engine on Steam. I was really excited about getting my hands on this restored version of one of my favourite Amiga games. It comes with some enhanced features such as improved controls and an option to play in classic visual mode or enhanced visual mode. In classic visual mode, the Chaos Engine is a pixel perfect port of the Amiga game. The speech, the graphics, the gameplay are all identical, and I think to this day stand up very well. So it sort of kind of is what it is. I mean, it's a perfect port of the Chaos Engine, and if that's what you're after, then you'll be very happy with this release. So the first enhancement that they've done is the ability to rotate on the spot using the analog controller. It can be toggled on and off, but I think this is a good little tweak to the gameplay and works well. The second enhancement is the option to improve the graphics. Now this is where I'm struggling with the Chaos Engine. To me, when enhanced visual mode is selected, the graphics look worse. It's as if some sort of dodgy Photoshop filter has been applied to the pixels, which makes them look almost quite blurred and undefined, almost has the opposite effect to what it sort of says it's going to do. You know, I just don't think it looks very nice, and for me it doesn't do anything to improve the experience. So to sort of summarise, I'm sort of split split on this one, and you know, I'm sort of wondering if I've missed the point really. You know, you can't deny it's a perfect version of the Chaos Engine, which has been lovingly restored. But if you're expecting more than that, then you will be left disappointed by this, I'm afraid. The control tweaks are an improvement, but for me, not enough to make me want to rush out and buy the Chaos Engine on Steam. Now for a little bit of sight news. Street Fighter is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and Capcom have created www.streetfighter25.com. This interactive website is a celebration of one of the most famous video games ever. Website visitors can upload their own Street Fighter memories using pictures or video, share their own stories. There's a timeline documenting its history, an artist gallery, tournaments, and finally a chance to buy a special 25th anniversary collector's set. There's also a 1-hour documentary called I Am Street Fighter available on YouTube. It's a lovely looking site and a great idea, so if you're a fan, then make sure you check it out. The last week's YouTube video of the week was by the insanely talented Smooth McGroove. Now, if you haven't seen or heard this guy before, then you have to check out his channel. Basically, he does a cappella versions of gaming tunes. Using just his voice, he recreates the music, and you have to hear it to believe how good it is. Here is the Sonic Green Hill Zone a cappella that we featured on the site. Finally, a new arcade has opened in North London. It's called The Hog, which stands for the Heart of Gaming. The Hog is different to other arcades in a couple of ways. The first is that you pay a one-off admission and all the machines are on free play. You can even pay for overnight sessions and pay for weekly or monthly passes. The second thing is that games can be requested. Certain cabinets are running Xbox 360s, and each one can hold loads of games. Visit their Facebook page for more details, but it's really great to see another arcade opening up. So now, it's competition time. For the next 4 months, the Retro Asylum are giving away a prize per month. The prize for September is a PlayStation 1 and a few games. This great prize has been kindly donated by the Retro Hunter. So to be in with a chance of winning this prize, all you have to do is leave us an iTunes review. It's that simple. Just leave us an iTunes review and you'll be put into the draw to win. A name will be drawn from the hat and the winner will be announced at the end of September. Everyone who has already left an iTunes review will automatically be entered. Now, as you know, Andy is taking the month of September off, so it would be amazing if when he gets back we could reach 100 or more iTunes reviews. So now let's get on to the main feature. This episode of My 8-Bit Life is about a composer who has composed so many tunes over the years that if added up, would be more than most of the other top composers worked combined. A true 8-bit legend. David Whittaker, step forward. This is your 8-bit life. David Whittaker was born in Bury in 1957. Throughout most of the 80s and early 90s, he composed video game music across loads of different systems, including the Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad, Amiga, Atari ST and MSX. The biggest problem I have been faced with this podcast is the sheer volume of music David has composed. I've tried to make a selection of his music that captures the flavour of his career, but unfortunately, I simply couldn't play it all. Let me know if you agree or disagree with any of my choices. After being a member of a New Romantics band in the early 80s, David then started getting into computers. He would always be messing around with his VIC-20 and started programming and making games for a small company called Mr. Micro. In the early days, David was programming the game as well as composing the music. He was doing the lot. David then started working for Terminal Software, who later became Binary Games. Whilst here, he created the C64 version of Lazy Jones, essentially a series of mini-games. Lazy Jones was a simple but addictive game, but hidden in one of the sub-games was a tune called Stardust. This track, which I'm sure you will all recognise, was sampled 15 years later by a German electronic band called Zombie Nation. They turned it into a number 2 hit in the UK charts. And when David heard that his sample had been ripped off, he wasn't happy. He promptly called them up to complain. The band apologised and agreed to pay him £9,000, which David claims is more than he got paid for the actual game. So here is Stardust, taken from Lazy Jones on the C64. So that was Stardust, taken from Lazy Jones on the C64. The next couple of years were prolific for David. composing for loads of different companies, some in-house and some freelance. In 1986, he composed the music for BMX Simulator for Codemasters. Here is the C64 version. That was BMX Simulator there on the Commodore 64. Whilst working for Codemasters, David also did the music for budget shoot 'em up Terra Cognita. That was Terra Cognita there on the Commodore 64. In 1986, Terminal Software became Binary Design. Binary Design created loads of the games that are distributed by companies like Quicksilver, Domark, Mastertronic, and Melbourne House. Whilst working for Binary, David was again prolific and composed some great music. First up, here is the theme music for Zub on the ZX Spectrum. That was Zub on the ZX Spectrum. The next track I would like to play for you is probably David's most well-known. It is for the isometric flying game Glider Rider, distributed by Quicksilver in 1986. That was the classic music there for Glider Rider on the Commodore 64. Throughout David's career, one thing was clear, and that was that he was happier freelancing. The benefit of this was that he could pick and choose the projects that he got involved with. Financially, he would be better off freelancing also. Apparently, at his peak, David was having to turn away work because he simply couldn't take any more on. Another excellent soundtrack that David worked on was Panther for Mastertronic. Here is the excellent theme tune. That was Panther there on the Commodore 64, composed for Mastertronic in 1986. Next up came a flurry of Codemasters releases. First up, here is the sublime and Retro Asylum favourite ATV Simulator on the ZX Spectrum. I have really fond memories of playing this game around my mate's house on his Spectrum. I loved the way that if you crashed your quad bike, your driver would come off. You then controlled him, and you had to run back to your bike. A nifty little touch that enhanced an already great game. Even better, consider it only cost $2.99. We'll be right back. That was ATV Simulator there on the ZX Spectrum, a great tune. Next up, I'm going to play a little medley of four other Codemasters games that David composed. Each one is excellent. See if you can guess what they are. We'll be right back. that was a little medley there of four Codemasters games. The first was Red Max, then there was Laser Force, followed by the theme song from the original Dizzy game, and finally Vampire, all on the Commodore 64. Still sticking with the 8-bit machines, David was off again on the freelance trail, working for a multitude of software houses. Whilst at English Software in 1987, he composed the music for Leviathan. Here it is. That was Leviathan there on the Commodore 64. Still in 1987, next up is a game that David composed the music for whilst freelancing for Quicksilver. It was an arcade conversion called Elevator Action. I love this game and used to play it for hours on my mate's green screen Amstrad. Here is the Amstrad CPC version of Elevator Action. Thank you. that was Elevator Action there on the Amstrad CPC. Another very well-known soundtrack that David composed was for Xenon, released across many systems in 1988 by Melbourne House. This top-down shooter had an awesome soundtrack. The Spectrum version is especially good, and here it is. So that was Xenon there on the ZX Spectrum. Now, some people claim that David's best work came when composing on the Amiga. In 1989, David composed the music for Shadow of the Beast by Psygnosis. That was Shadow of the Beast for the Amiga. Again on the move, David composed the music for Speedball for the Bitmap Brothers. Here is the excellent Amiga version. That was Speedball there on the Amiga. Now, I could probably keep playing David's music for hours and hours, no problem. Everywhere I look, another great piece of music pops up. But I think it's about time to start winding things up. The final track I would like to play for you is the excellent Beyond the Ice Palace for the Amiga. In the early 90s, David also started composing for consoles and performing many sound conversions across different systems. For instance, he ported the Amiga music for Gods over to the Super Nintendo and Mega Drive. He did many other conversions like this, far, far too many to list. In January 1993, Rob Hubbard, who was working for EA in America, gave David a call, asking him if he wanted to come over, as EA were desperately trying to find someone in the USA to work on Mega Drive and SNES. No one existed who could just jump in and start without any training, so he went out there for an interview in March, liked what he saw, and moved over in June that year. Whilst at EA, he worked on loads of titles with Rob Hubbard, such as Road Rash, Wing Commander, and 007 The World Is Not Enough. After 8 years working in the US for Electronic Arts at their Redwood Shore studio, David moved back to the UK and he joins the British video game developer Traveller's Tales at their studio in Cheshire as head of audio in September 2004. So that's the musical life of David Whittaker, an absolute 8-bit legend who has produced a staggering amount of music across so many systems. Some people say that a lot of David's work sounds quite samey, which I do agree with, but there is no denying that his music for games such as Panther, Glider Rider, ATV Simulator and Speedball are legendary pieces of video game music. A massive thank you to Tony Day, Michael Keith and Anthony Ogden, who are our kind sponsors for September. If anyone wants to sponsor the podcast, go to retroasylum.com and click on the donate button. Andy makes no money from the podcast, so any donations are a massive help towards the podcast hosting fees. So thanks again, Tony, Anthony and Michael. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review in September to be in with a chance of winning the PS1 and games. They really are massively important. Not only do we love the feedback and appreciation, but also they help us to get noticed and spread the word. So far, we have 93 iTunes reviews. Our latest one is a 5-star review by Kennedy, who says, "Love the podcast. The hosts are super nice guys and always interesting to listen to. Keep up the great work." So thanks for that, Kennedy. And finally, a quick Retro Asylum fantasy football update. After 3 game weeks, Bowen Brew is still top, Mog79 has stormed up to second, and BWFC11 stays in third. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of My 8-Bit Life. If you have any feedback, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to retroasylum.com, select this podcast and leave a comment. I will leave you now with a Sid rendition of a track from one of David's favourite bands. Inspired massively by early 80s synth music, David was a huge fan of electronic groups such as Kraftwerk, and here is a cover of their most popular song, The Model, composed on the Commodore 64. Thanks again, and see you next time.